The monster in the critics is an origin, and an origin is a point that you cannot do without, but you can't do much with it either. And that becomes a problem. If I seem too focused on this, you have to forgive me, because I edited Tolkien's original book from which he drew this lecture, The Monsters and the Critics. That was my first real Tolkien book that I worked on. And so I've worked with Tolkien's original manuscripts, trying to figure out his handwriting and trying to see how his thought developed with this. And I understand now that in writing The Monsters and the Critics, Tolkien was in some ways trying to figure out how he could give himself an excuse to write the kind of literature that he wanted to write. That's why I think it's so important. Now, the big thing that Tolkien does in The Monsters and the Critics is he says that the monsters actually belong in Beowulf. And this may seem blindingly obvious. The poem is mostly about fighting monsters. There's Grendel, there's Grendel's mother, there's the dragon. But in fact, a lot of critics wished there hadn't been monsters, or at least wished there hadn't been so many monsters, because it made Beowulf seem juvenile and childish. In other words, it made Beowulf seem like fantasy rather than serious literature. The critics weren't asking for realism in an ancient epic, but they were asking for focus on man enmeshed in the net of fate. In other words, they wanted things that you would get in Virgil or Homer, people caught between competing promises and so forth. Tolkien says, "You are barking up the wrong tree. You should be looking at what's actually in the poem, and the monsters are symbolic. They're not allegories." This is important. We'll get to that later. They're not specific representations. You can't say that Grendel is the sea and Beowulf is the sun and all of that. But you can say that the monsters represent the dangers of chaos and unreason. They are the things that live in the dark outside the circle of civilization. That's really important for understanding what Tolkien thought fantasy literature could do, because fantasy literature could both celebrate that little circle of light and also make the people in that circle aware that there were things outside the circle of light. I'm jumping all the way to the end of the essay for a second, then I'll come back, because I think it's important to see how Tolkien accomplishes this point. Tolkien says, "If the funeral of Beowulf moved once like the echo of an ancient dirge, far off and hopeless, it is to us as a memory brought over the hills, an echo of an echo. There is not much poetry in the world like this. And though Beowulf may not be among the very greatest poems of our Western world and its tradition, it has its own individual character and peculiar solemnity. It would still have power had it been written in some time or place unknown and without posterity, if it contained no name that could now be recognized or identified by research. Yet it is, in fact, written in a language that, after many centuries, has still essential kinship with our own. It was made in this land and moves in our northern world beneath our northern sky. And for those who are native to that tongue and land, it must ever call with a profound appeal, until the dragon comes."